Good evening, James McKenna here with My Science Hour, June 9th, 2016. And if you hear a little background noise, I'm not in my usual place. I'm not sure if you're aware, but many places had internet outages, serious viruses in entire internet clouds, areas, regions, etc. I continue to have, let's say, web bombing, I don't know what you'd call it, but attacks. We had a server attack this past week, which was fended off by the IT people. And, of course, that's when they send tons and tons of server requests hoping to hack in. It was fended off. Unbelievable amount. And this is not just me. This is other places. My usual place had a virus infected the entire internet network of servers in an entire region. So, and I think this is just a precursor to what is to come. I think this summer they're going to pull out all the stops. I was on, if you want to hear more about this, I did discuss this yesterday morning on the Joyce Riley Show, second hour, power hour, Wednesday morning. And by the way, I will be on there regularly every month, second Wednesday of the month at 8 a.m. Central Time. That's the second hour. And then, of course, with John Moore has changed his time now. He's running from 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday to 10 o'clock in the morning. So yesterday I was on his second hour, but typically, unless it's the second Wednesday of the month, I hope I didn't say Wednesday of the month, I'll be on John's second hour, which is 9 a.m., a little bit complicated. But all the rest of the Wednesdays of the month, I will be on at 8 o'clock a.m. Central Time with John Moore. Okay, but anyway, I discussed these topics and the internet bombing and my belief that this summer they're going to pull out all the stops. The World Bank is not doing well, and Obama really has failed them. If you were the World Bank and trying to analyze how little Obama has done for you, he has failed. I mean, the world is much more aware of the World Bank and their doings, etc. They are being shunned. Entire countries are moving away from them. I talked about Latin America. I'm not going to talk about that again, but just listen to that show with Joyce Riley, you know, second hour Wednesday morning yesterday, that'd be June 8th, and discussing Latin America and other politics around the world. But at any rate, I'm going to quick mention something about Ecuador. It's something I've been reporting on. Listen to my previous shows. I'll be posting also the Brian Porter show that I did a number of weeks ago. There's been a couple shows with Joyce Riley. I'll be posting those also on the webpage. It's just that I've been swamped lately trying to fight this internet issue of having to go find places to get on the internet. But I've been in this position before. So let me talk about something very positive. And this is happening, as with any synthesis or antithesis, there's a opposites attract or repel. I'm not sure which, whatever your, what type of force you're working with in physics. But as the New World Order, the European bankers, the Rothschild banking, and all of their minions and the Federal Reserve of the United States and all of the Congress of the U.S. and all the problems they create for the world, as that happens, there is a reaction. And people are just stepping off the bandwagon, stepping off the merry-go-round, if you want to say it that way, and just leaving. And so I had an email exchange with a listener, a woman, and she said, she had this great desire to dump her job and get rid of it and go out and live in the country and get rid of everything. But she, had obligations and things like this. And I said, no, you can do this. Don't worry about all the traditional reasons why you got to stay stuck in the rat race. And I've met so many people that just one day hit the wall and they say, I ain't doing this no more. I am not working for the man anymore. I'm not going to pay my stupid taxes. And I'm not suggesting that you become a tax resister. I'm just saying that you start living a lifestyle in which you don't pay any taxes. And there's ways to do that. In which you don't make sufficient to get over a certain level. I don't know. There's many ways of doing this. And I'm not saying if you owe taxes, well, then, you know, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. But the point is you can break away or minimize all of that garbage. You know, the insurance, the required insurance, all of the other taxes and things that go with it. There's a way to minimize all of that. And a lot of people are doing this, and I'm not going to suggest any route for any given person because every person has their own path. They can find it and choose it. But anyway, I suggested to this woman that she look up on the foreclosures. There's a lot of land around the United States that's going into foreclosure. Because that's the first thing that people, if they have a loan on it, they run out of money, they can't make a payment, the land goes into foreclosure, there's no house there. So you can pick these up for sometimes a few $1,000s, pretty cheap. Or maybe more, there's all prices. Or you could go out and buy some land or shop and think of an area you want to move to. But here's what's going on. People are just looking for a way to get away. Excuse me, sorry. They're just looking for a way to step off the bandwagon and head into a new direction, a much simpler lifestyle. So along that vein, for a long time, and of course, this is something I did a long time ago. I started doing this. Let me tell you a little secret. I've been retired twice in my life previously. Maybe you might say what I'm doing now is retirement in a sense. I never stop working on my science work, etc. But as far as working on the merry-go-round, I had two phases in my life when I was done. I had enough money and everything else that I didn't have to really work. And then I came back and I did other things. Here's the point. You really can, at almost any point, step off this merry-go-round and head out and just live a much simpler lifestyle. I met a family that the wife was a nurse, and the husband, I forget what job he had. He had a fairly good job, but they bought a little store up in the woods, and they lived there, and they expanded the store, and they made it much better, put in a little restaurant, and added a lot of services, and that, you know, it became once again kind of like a little hub of the locale. And so they were doing quite well. They bought a house that they were fixing up while they lived in it, you know, and the kids would come into the store and do their internet work and things like that. But at the house, they didn't have internet. So they played music and they, you know, worked on the house, and everybody had their chores and, you know, getting back to a different lifestyle. But the thing is, you can have modern life with this type of existence. And so in that vein, what I am doing now as part of what I do, I am joining groups and organizations by becoming what is known as an affiliate. Now, that's a term that, you know, we all know what affiliate is. It's somebody that's associated with something. But in the modern computer world, an affiliate is someone who exposes a given product to a market for the company, for the owner or the company that's selling a certain product. So let's say, for example, somebody's selling flashlights, and I'm not going to sell flashlights. There's a lot of people selling flashlights, but I'm not going to sell flashlights. But just as an example, here's Company A, and say that I would want to go out and support this company by putting an ad on my page, so that when you come to my page, click on that ad, and go there and purchase a flashlight, then I would get a commission off of that, basically. And this is all done by computer now. This is all, within the last number of years, become very available with computer software and servers, and the way the servers track the customers so that they know who bought the product and who should get credit for the sale, you know, the commission, etc. And it's a way that a company that sells a product can expand their market without any real marketing costs, because you only pay for success. You only pay on performance. You don't go out and spend money on ads or, and that's become the problem with Facebook and Google and a lot of these other services, that people go out and a lot of times spend a lot of money on advertisement and they don't get anything back for it. You always hear about the great success stories on Amazon or Google or Facebook or YouTube or whatever the service is. You always hear about these great success stories, but the reality is it's kind of like Las Vegas. Most people lose, you know, and they don't make back there even their investment in advertisement. So the affiliate program is a way of finding out what works, and then when you find something that works, you go with that. You keep pursuing that direction. So anyway, what I'm doing is I'm joining other groups to promote things. And this week on my webpage, you'll find a new ad. And I'm going to do this in the right column of my homepage. And that may change with time as I modernize my homepage. But there you'll find my products that I advertise. For example, my link to my sales page. You'll find the carrot bars and the Via Viente. Now you will find another link there, something that I found and was presented to me, and I really liked it. It's called PermaCube. In the web page, you can go click through my web page to find the link. But anyway, what it is it's an all-encompassing backyard food production system. It's very nice. I really like it, and it might not be correct for everybody. But if you have a big backyard, you could turn your backyard into literally a system where you had either fish or shrimp, some aquatic type plant. Then you could have chickens if your zoning allows it. Most places in the world you're going to have chickens, except the United States, unless you live out in the country, of course. But you would have all of your greens, vegetables, etc., grown in a greenhouse. You would have solar panels and other energy sources there. And this is a kind of a little modular unit where you can add a lot of features to basically grow your own food. So you have all of your own food. You have protein, you have the vegetables, you have fruits, you have fertilizer. You take the fertilizer and you take all of the clippings of things you didn't eat out of the plants and you put them back into the compost system in the PermaCube, etc. But anyway, go to my webpage and see this. And this is my first venture into becoming an affiliate of something. And I really like this one. The people are very sincere that have built this. But I just want to tell you something. If you buy something from them, please click on the ad on my page so that I get credit for it. If you go to their page and then you buy something from their page, but you don't click through my page, then I don't get credit for it. So I would appreciate it, you know, if you click on the ad on my page, and then I get a commission. It doesn't cost you anymore. The product is still the same price. It's just that I get a commission. But anyway, the point is that I'm going to be searching out, and I have been searching out, products like this or systems or things that people have conceived of, and then are looking for affiliates. And so an affiliate is just simply somebody that has an audience, and I have an audience. My audience is very different than most other talk show hosts. There's some overlap, of course. People that listen to my show listen to other shows that are, you know, alternative radio, etc. In terms of, say, people like PermaCube, I'm reaching a whole different audience that they wouldn't reach by themselves. I'm reaching a lot of people out there who have become fans of mine. And of course, now here's another issue, is that when you're an affiliate, like, I don't know all the ins and outs of their product. I haven't studied it. I don't know it like they do. But I've looked at it enough to know that this is something that the public is going to want. This is something that's well thought out. It's a solid design. And it's something that, you know, that I would buy for myself, and I would support this. I would support their effort, and it looks like it's a very well designed product, etc. Something that people can really use in today's world. And so, anyway, that's the whole concept of affiliate marketing being associated with somebody else's product and promoting it, and then getting a commission for the people that purchased as they came through my page to that page. And so I'm going to be doing more of this. And instead of, say, me developing a line of products that I sell, I'm going to promote other people's products. Then when you purchase the product, of course, you've purchased it from that company. They have all the support. If you have questions, you call them for answers, etc. But it's a way for people to market and help each other out in this world we're living for in today. And the way I see it, this is the future, internet marketing, because now you have a worldwide audience, literally. You have a worldwide audience, and the interest is worldwide. It's universal. People in Europe or people in Australia or somewhere else or who knows where would be interested in these affiliate products. So anyway, that's something you're going to see more, and I'm investigating more and more of these, but this is my first introduction into this, and as I introduce these in the future, I won't be spending that much time on it. But once again, you'll find this on my homepage. So if you are interested in this, when you go to purchase, make sure you come back to my page and click through if you're going to make some purchases there so I get credit for it. And it's another way of me adding some necessary income to support this show, the other research that I do, things like that, so that my efforts can continue. That's as simple as that. But also, I really believe that the future is in developments. There'll be people going out and buying their own place, just living on their own, out in the, you know, out away from, what would you call, big city or big city life. Maybe moving into a small town where you could have a unit like this, like a permacube in your backyard, or out on the edge of a town or near a park where you have access to parkland or state forest land or federal forest land. That's always something that people look for, you know. So, and I've talked before, when you go out and buy land or something like that, what do you need? You need some natural resources like trees or, you know, good vegetation and water. Water is essential. If you don't have water, you got a problem, no matter where you are on the planet. So anyway, that's where I see the future. I've talked about First Nation before, where you simply start living your own democracy. That's the way I put it. In other words, you're a vote of one. You vote for what you want to do. You start living your own democracy, and it's free. It's what I call free living. In other words, you develop a system in which all of the things that you need, the essentials. I'm not talking about everything you need. Obviously, you're going to still live in the real world, etc. But with the goofiness in today's schools, I'm encouraging people to start homeschooling. That's another thing I'm working on, is developing more of my coursework for kids. Right now, a lot of people use my books for homeschooling. And so it's a way for them to get some reality into their kids' lives so that they come out of this with, you know, not with government for science or Common Core science or math. I saw some stuff from Common Core, and oh my goodness, I saw some math stuff. I mean, it's silly, ridiculous. I don't know who dreamt this up or what they were smoking, but believe me, you don't want to ruin your kids' lives with Common Core education, and it'll be around for a while. There's going to be a lot of fights over it, but get your kids out of there. All the goofiness going on in schools, and believe me, they're not learning anything worth learning. You sit there for 12 years in a public school or a school that, you know, that teaches public school material, which is the majority of private schools teach what they teach in the public schools. They use the same textbooks and stuff. Believe me, don't waste your time. The kids that I know that are homeschooled are so much more advanced for their age. The reading skills, the writing skills, the verbal skills, the mathematics skills. The kids that are homeschooled are so much more advanced, but the schools never want to admit that. They are never going to in a million years admit that they're a failure. But remember that they're not there to educate. They're there to retard kids so that they're good, let's say this, worker bees. They don't question. They don't ask. They just do what they're told. 12 years of sitting there behind that desk and some teacher telling you stuff, and if you repeat it, you get an A. Wow. If you make it through that with half a brain, you're lucky. So get your kids out of school. Take them out of there. Homeschool them. And here's what I'd say, too, though, is kids need social interaction with kids their own age. So they can get that sometimes either in church groups or things like that. But, you know, find a balance there. Find a balance. But good grief, public school, if you can find a good one, you know, let me tell you, you're the only person on the planet that has found one. Okay, enough of that. Let me see if I have any other important announcements here. Joyce Riley asked me for a Planet X update, and she said, are there any Planet X objects coming in at us? Is there anything going on? I said, just for you, for my audience who didn't happen to listen to that, the reality is that there is no data that would suggest there's some kind of Planet X object imminent or coming into the solar system, whatever. And then I also mentioned that the Harrington, all of the hype about this so-called 3,600-year orbit and Harrington, which is, you know, of the Naval Observatory, all of that rigmarole. He did discover something. It was the nucleus of Hale-Bopp, and I discussed this in my Hale-Bopp release from July 23rd last year, 2015. It was the 10th anniversary of the discovery of Hale-Bopp. So if you want to know the latest on the Planet X story or Nibiru or that type of thing, listen to that. It's very telling. That's, once again, my July 23rd, 2015 release. It's a downloadable DVD called Hale-Bopp Planet X Harrington Expedition Update. You'll find that on my sales page. Okay, I promised that I would talk about water filters. And, of course, I sell water filters. But here's what's going on. In the last year, there have probably been, I don't know how many. I don't want to say a number. But let's say, you know, the old way of counting is 1, 2, 3, many. Well, we're in many. Many new water filter products, you might call them, have come on the market. And so what I wanted to do is somewhat categorize them. And, of course, I've been selling water filters for 15 years now, and I've gone through quite a few versions of different water filters over the years. I'm not going to mention any names. But and so it's been a bit of an evolution, and everything I was selling at the time was, you know, the best that was available at the time. But now we've come into a new era, and I'll just briefly mention that my filter elements now, and by the way, I'm switching over to purely imperial filter elements of the GF, in other words, the filters that take out everything all in one filter element, and that is, I'll tell you something right to begin with. That is unique in the industry, where you don't have to have an add-on filter for fluoride or arsenic or whatever. What I'm selling is unique in the industry. But the category of filters that I wanted to talk about, the vast majority of the new introductions in the water filter business, and I just saw one the other day, a brand new startup company offering a filter. And what these are called carbon block filters. They're black, and they're cut out of a single piece of carbon foam. And they're not really a filter. They're an absorber. But at any rate, what these companies do is they take a block of carbon, and it's kind of like a foam composite material. And they machine out a cylinder. And then they glue a base on it. And there's, of course, a hole drilled up the middle. So when the water flows through, it comes into this hole and then drips down through the base. But anyway, I wanted to make some clarifications. So if you see filters, typically they would have a picture of the filter. If they're black, then they're of the carbon black filter variety. They're carved literally out of a piece of carbon black. Some of them might be formed in a mold, but all the ones I'm aware of are actually carved out of a block of carbon black foam. And so the question is, here's the things that I tell people to avoid. If you have to prime a filter, you don't want it. And this is for the gravity feed water filters. The reason being is if you force the water backwards through the filter, see, now carbon foam by itself, if you put it in water, it'll float. It'll float because it rejects water. Water doesn't naturally flow through it like you have in the ceramic filters. Ceramic naturally absorbs water, and so like with my white ceramic filters, the outer case is ceramic. That you put water in there and it absorbs and it saturates the ceramic, and then it begins flowing through. So you don't have to prime them, is the point. The carbon block filters you have to prime, so you have to take a pressurized water source, stick it on the back end of the filter, force water through it until the water comes through the filter, and then you put it in your filter and use it. What's the problem with that? Well, you're taking your contaminated source of water and you're pumping it into the filter. So you've just contaminated your filter. That's one of the big problems. And so, and like I say, it's not a filter, it's really an absorber. Some of the marketing claims, here's one of the marketing claims, that they absorb, or they filter, they say, red food dye. And really, that's pretty strange claim, because red food dye is not a toxin. It's an edible substance that you put in food to make food red. So why would you claim that a food dye being extracted by this filter somehow is good? It doesn't take out green or blue or yellow or any other color dye, just red. And that is because of the chemical structure of the red food dye is literally absorbed by the carbon. And so it's kind of a quirk of the material. It doesn't mean that it's a better filter or worse filter. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a test. And so it's not any kind of a comparison or replacement for real laboratory testing. One of the biggest issues today is chloramine. Now, chloramine is in the families of chlorines. But here's the problem when people say they have tested to NSF standards with chloramine. What the NSF standards test for is chloride. And so they, by extension, say that that covers chloramine. But filters that take out chlorides do not typically take out chloramines. And so this is just an old quirk of the outdated NSF testing standard. So my filters are actually tested for chloramines. And so you put a source of water with chloramines in it, like is very common in Florida or San Diego or places where they take reverse osmosis seawater and mix it with a kind of a brackish water from inland, from wells or surface ponds. And then they put chloramines in it, and they think that that chloramine is going to make it taste better, which I can't imagine because it's so obnoxious that I can't even get near a glass of water with chloramines in it. But some people are convinced that that's better. But the chloramines are a seriously bad thing to have in your water, so you got to get it out of there. So there are people making claims that their filters remove chloramines. They think they've been tested because the NSF test says that they remove chloramines, but the NSF test is out of date. It's not current, and it's based on old testing standards when chloramine was not even an issue. It was not even an issue a number of years ago, and now it's an issue. And so my filters are actually tested with a separate test for chloramines, and it shows that it does remove chloramine up to the stated value in the specification table for my filters. So that's one of the things. I just heard this going around that people are making claims that their filters, their carbon black filters, take out chloramines, and it's simply not the case. You have to have a separate test specific to chloramine. Glyphosates is another one, in which many of the filters do not remove glyphosates. But because of other related testing, they say that it does. Glyphosates and chloramines are some of the worst things that you can have in your water, and they're very common today. Glyphosates come from Roundup. It's the primary chemical that's residual from Roundup, and it goes into the water table, and it's there. So all of this agriculture, if you live in a state like Kansas or Nebraska or Ohio or Indiana or Iowa or Minnesota or Wisconsin or the South Dakota, where there's a lot of corn grown, for example, or soybeans, you're going to have glyphosate in your water. It's just the way it is. And people that live on a farm are going to have a triple dose of it because it's going to be in the water table. All of that is going down into the water table and into your faucet. So these are some of the aspects of filtration that you have to be careful of. Now, let's take an example. Let's say you're out in the woods. Your source of water is, say, for example, a artesian well. It's got some gunk in it, some dirt, some unfiltered sediment or whatever like that, and maybe a little bacteria. Most of the filters will be fine for that. They'll get the gunk out. You'll have clean water. You can drink it and cook with it, etc., because there's not that much to take out. You don't have glyphosates. You don't have chloramines. You don't have fluoride. You don't have arsenic, more than likely. But I'll tell you something. Arsenic is probably in all of the water sources in the country. And I still have to put up, it's in my notes here, to put up a map of arsenic on my webpage. And this is something I'm going to be doing more promoting, so that the people in these areas know that they have arsenic and they have to get that out of their water. But there again, the carbon black filters don't take out fluoride. They don't take out arsenic. You have to put on an add-on filter. And I used to sell those. I don't sell them anymore because now my filter element removes the chloramines, it takes out the glyphosates, it takes out arsenic and fluoride. And chloride and a lot of the other things. My filters also have carbon in them for certain targeted chemicals, but that's not the main component. So understanding filtration, what's in the water, and how to get this stuff out of the water, and in a commercially produced filter, you have to have a very broad spectrum of removal of the chemical toxins and etc. And so you have to understand all of these possibilities. And so say you are in an area with very high concentrations of arsenic. Okay, well then you're going to use up the attachment capability, the extraction capability of that filter sooner than average. So you're going to have to change your filters more often. They will continue to take out arsenic, but the material in the filter, in my filter elements that take out the arsenic, will get up used up quicker. Those add-on filters that you used to screw on the bottom, right now my filter elements, just the standard size filter elements, not to mention the Imperials, which have four times the amount of the chemical in it to remove arsenic, those will last three times longer than an add-on filter for arsenic. And so the add-on filters are really not very good. And so if somebody has to sell you an add-on filter for arsenic, first of all, it's going to slow down your flow rate to almost zero, and you're going to put that baby on there, and you'll be lucky to get a drop of water through it. And we used to have problems with people because water has a viscosity property, so that if it has the wrong viscosity, it simply won't go through that filter. You can take the same filter, go down the street or, you know, into the next town to somebody else's house, and it works just fine. But at any rate, arsenic, most people should get that out of their water. That's why I concentrate on arsenic in my water filter. But all I'm saying, the whole purpose of going through this discussion is, as a consumer out there, you want to be smart, because there are people making claims that simply aren't true, about, especially about arsenic, fluoride, chloramines, and glyphosate, some of the biggest pollutants in water. Some of them will take out certain amounts of heavy metals and not others. So, you know, it's a question that, and so what I'm saying is, the majority of new entries into the water filter market, and they all have their hype, they all have their good propaganda, so to speak. If you look at the filters, they're carved out of a black carbon filter block. And really, it's a very inexpensive process, and I believe that my personal opinion is that they're very overpriced. So at any rate, that's just some commentary. Those are my opinions on the issue, and they're opinions based on a lot of experience, 15 years of selling water filters to the public. There's just one other point to mention. One of the main reasons I used to carry carbon black filters a long, long time ago, one of the main reasons I stopped carrying them was because they would come loose. The glue that attaches the carbon filter to the plastic base where you screw it into the filter would come loose. And that meant something. And then I realized there was an important part of testing. And that important part of testing is understanding what the filter puts back into the water. In other words, you're running water through this thing. Does the thing contribute pollution into the water? And so what you, part of your testing, part of the testing that goes into my filters is assuring that there's no residue that comes from the filter itself. And if you're, by the way, if you're hearing some noise like a jungle in the background, well, it might be, what you're hearing. But at any rate, so you have to test to make sure that there's nothing coming off the filter. So if you're pursuing questions about filtration or looking at tests, you also have to have a test that's totally separate to assure that stuff is not coming from the filter into the water, which my filters do have that test and shows that there's no significant residue of any kind coming into the water after the water passes through. In other words, the filter is not contributing any kind of pollution to the water. So there's places I've been where I still use other brands. I'm not going to mention any on the air that are purely ceramic filters. And they don't have any add-ons. They're a 10-year-old technology, simply a filter in the truest sense of the word, just a ceramic shell, nothing inside, nothing to take out other chemicals, etc. And they work fine if you're out in the country and just have a source of water, which is, say, from a stream or something like that, and you're just taking out bacteria and some sediment. So they work fine. But in today's modern world, where you're in a city or you're near a place of pollution, you know, even in the country, you may have mercury poisoning. Even up in the northern woods, you might have mercury poisoning because there's a paper plant down the road someplace. So my advice to people is that you have to filter water today, no matter where you are, whether you're traveling, whether you're at home, whether you're going to a sporting event. And I also encourage people to filter your water at home, put it in bottles, best of all, stainless steel. I'm sorry, I don't sell those anymore. It just was one of the things that I had to eliminate as a product because, you know, you can only stock so many things. It's like the hardware store. But stainless steel is, of course, the best type of bottle. And you buy them for life. It's something you're going to have in 20 years. So they're a little bit more expensive, but they're worth their every penny in terms. I use stainless steel bottles myself to carry my water in when I'm traveling or hiking or whatever. So that's a little bit about water filtration. But I wanted to cover this kind of new plethora of new products on the market that have come out literally in the last couple of years, carbon, black filters, and having to know what they can do and what they don't do that is realistic. Many times on this show, I've talked about future living and where we should be going as a society. And I'm very excited, very positive about, I'm just meeting so many more people today, and they're all heading in the same direction. In other words, you know, they want to live with nature. They want to be very compatible with nature. We're fighting this industrial, you know, monster. China has polluted its country almost beyond belief. The United States is horribly polluted. Europe has been very polluted for a long time. The poor black forest is non-existent anymore, suffering from acid rain. So the world has really taken a beating. And the species, whether they're plant life or animal or other forms of life on Earth, have really taken a beating in the last 100 years. But as people move off, the thing is, you can take a small piece of land, a few acres or 5 acres. As you develop that land and keep it clean, you can have your very own little piece of paradise and maintain it. So the issue of maintaining a place to live that's clean, and here's one of the keys that I'm finding out, and I'm going to be having more and more affiliate type of relationships. But greenhouses, and there's so many excellent greenhouse manufacturers out there. I'm not going to go into the greenhouse manufacturing business myself, but I'm going to adapt and probably become affiliates with some that do. I believe everybody should have a greenhouse of some kind, and there again, the PermaCube affiliate program is just that. It's one of the very more convenient ones. I also believe that it might be right for some people to actually start a small commercial operation growing. I mean, you could grow something like strawberries, cash crops, that would produce some of the cash crops could produce almost all year long. Things like radishes or spinach or things that with very fast turnaround time. And so you could be harvesting literally all the time with a fairly significant greenhouse. And with a little bit of work, even if you're in a cold climate, you could be running it four seasons, all four seasons of the year. So the whole issue is that we're moving into a time when people want clean food, etc. But I'll tell you something, and this is one of the aspects of greenhouse living, so to speak, living with a greenhouse, is that you want to make sure your soil is clean and unpolluted. You want to make sure that the air is unpolluted, and that's one reason why you use a greenhouse, is because to get away from chemtrails and everything else that's coming in the air. A greenhouse is a fairly closed system, but the water, and here again we come back to filtration of water. And for a long time, I've had commercial water filtration systems, and probably a lot of you really don't know that aspect of my business. But I'm going to start to promote more and more of that, where these are larger commercial systems. And there again, it's targeted. It's the same, literally the same type of technology that goes into the GF filters, in which... But commercial is a little bit different, because you might be in an area where you have a lot of one type of pollutant, but not very much of another. So literally, the commercial products, the filtration products for commercial applications, larger applications, are custom. They're all custom. And so this is something that you're going to see also in the future. So that when we talk about organic food and non-GMO, remember that a lot of companies today talk about organic. And this is, everybody thinks they're eating really good food if it's organic. But 99% of it is GMO food. So there's three things that you want. And I've actually started working on an organization that is going to coordinate this concept. One is non-GMO. I mean, you don't want genetic excuse me, you don't want genetically modified food growing in your own personal greenhouse or garden, etc. So non-GMO, that's number one. Organic has taken on all kinds of meanings, and with the government becoming involved, supposedly to protect you, of course, big business gets in there, changes the rules to where unprocessed human waste can be used and called organic. I mean, that's you know, Congress is not your buddy. And they'll allow almost anything, you know, under the sun to be called organic. So a legally organic is one thing, but what we are developing is it's a term I call true organic, and it's a proactive organic. People are trying to get Monsanto to label GMO on the labels, and that'll probably never happen. So give it up. Give it a rest. Don't worry about the government protecting you. But what we're developing is a proactive label. Proactive labeling means that the people take it upon themselves to put a label on the product, and what it means is it's non-GMO, proactive labeling for food, non-GMO, true organic, which means it complies with strict true organic compliance rulings, and then certified clean water. These are the three things that you're going to hear more and more about. And a lot of people think, oh, organic, that's okay, that's a good start, but you want organic non-GMO. But if you're growing your organic non-GMO food with highly polluted water, guess what's going into those plants every day? Toxins. Every day those toxins are building up and building up because you're not using filtered water. And so this is something I'm promoting. Those three things have to be an essential part of your food growing program, whether it's outside, whether it's commercial, whether it's greenhouse, whether it's enclosed in a warehouse with electric lighting, whatever the method of growing food, you have to have those three components. So non-GMO, not genetically modified. Number two, true organic, not the government version of organic, the true organic, meaning strict true organic certification. Number three, certified clean water, which means that you know that that water has been filtered and so that it has the proper mineral base for the plants to grow. And those things are well known. We know what kind of minerals spinach require or other fruits and vegetables, etc. We know the type of mineral content that is best for those plants to grow. So you want the minerals, and there again, my commercial grade filters also, like the filter elements, the GF filter elements that you buy for your home filter, allow the minerals to pass through. And that's very important because your body is just like a plant. It requires certain minerals to be, and when they come in water, there's other type of minerals that have to be attached. For example, calcium has to be attached to, for example, a fat cell to be absorbed by the body. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of women take calcium to preserve their bones as they get older, to prevent bone decalcification, etc., and the other effects, scoliosis, etc., as they age. But the fact is that you need calcium has to be attached to something. So if you take a calcium pill, you may as well just take it and throw it in a garbage can. It's not going to do much good. So in summary, just look for those three things. And this is going to be coming down the line. It's not in the public view today. So once again, you've heard it first on this show. True organic, non-GMO, and certified clean water in the greenhouse situation growing your food. And I apologize if you can hear all this racket in the background. Literally in a very, very noisy place, but this is due to the hacking and the viruses in the internet. I've been forced into a situation where this is I had to find a place where I could have internet access, and unfortunately it comes with a bit of noise. You might hear some macaws and other jungle animals in the background. Another quick comment on filtration. I had an interesting feedback from some people that were talking about my filters, and they came back and they said, we don't believe that you can filter out certain things and not and these elements, these beneficial minerals, can pass through. How can you have a filter that does that? So let me just explain that a little bit. When you talk about filtering, that is kind of a loose term, because down below a certain level of, and these are actually chemical-sized particles, particulates, you don't filter anymore. The way you take certain things out, like fluoride and arsenic and chloramines and glyphosates and the a very long laundry list of other elements, is that you literally, through ionization and covalent bonding, literally chemically take them out of the water. And so the what you do is that the minerals are basically in solution in water. And so you allow those to pass through. There's and so, yes, you it's called targeted filtration. And so what happens is you filter out certain targeted elements or toxins, and then you can leave other ones pass through. And so it's intelligent filtering. The it's a you know a, in the last 2 years this has come about and simply is not available in any other type of product, where these are very intelligently designed filters through a lot of experience, going through years and years of selling filters, understanding, and then there's all kinds of shipping considerations to make them strong enough to withstand shipping. So there's a lot of considerations that go into the design and manufacturing, having the glue that attaches the ceramic to the base so that it doesn't contribute any type of toxin into the water, that it's stable, it's not water soluble, and the filters don't break off. I mean, that's very important. So there again, the difference between various manufacturing types of filters. My filters, for example, are cast. And then they're baked. And so it's a whole entire process. It's not just machined out of, say, a block of material. And it's a very exacting process to keep the porosity size exactly the same. If you have a filter, and this is something that actually there's a YouTube video that was produced by someone on the carbon black filters. And what happens is they come partially disattached at the base, and all of the water flows through there, and they don't do any filtering at all. And it comes back to the same problem of not having a glue that can attach to both carbon and the plastic base that is not water soluble, and it doesn't contribute a pollution into the water stream itself. And so there's actually, I'm quoting a YouTube video that shows how the black carbon black filters become detached, and if you have a small defect in the filter, then all of the water is going to pass through there, and there's not going to be any filtration done at all. So there again, it's a real exacting process. I kind of got a kick out of I was in the tropics one time, and I was showing some people who had never seen a filter element before. I was showing it to them. And they go, well, gee, we could just make this back out in the back shed. We could make some of these. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't think you understand what's involved here. And I think that's part of the problem with water filtration is people get excited about things. They don't understand really very much about water filtration or testing, including the fact that you have to prove that your filter doesn't pass other unwanted elements into the water from your filter itself, you know. So it's a touchy area. It's a touchy area, but it's something because of the growth in the recent growth in the number of offerings in water filters and the various price ranges. I saw one in which they claimed that the filter element costs $250, but then they say sell the entire stainless steel unit with the filter and other add-ons, etc., for $190. Well, something's wrong. Either they're very overpricing their filter, or they're selling it at a loss. What's one of the two? But, you know, so I see a lot of bizarre claims. Here's another claim that I see a lot, is that the filter will filter up to 5,000 gallons or some number of gallons of water. Well, that's if you have really clean water. But any filter is going to have a capacity based on the level of pollution. So if you so you have to understand what the capacity of a filter is given the situation. It's not possible to simply put a number on a given filter. And so you try and get a balance point, and like on my spec sheet, I talk about the longevity of the water filter elements. But then you have to understand that if you have high levels of arsenic in your water, well, obviously you're going to have to change them out more frequently. That's why the imperial filters are best. They don't cost much more, but they have four times the extraction capability for things like arsenic and those elements that are taken out literally by chemistry in the filter element. So I thought it was important to take a show out and talk about filtration. And right now you're going to see coming along a new sales page for my water filters. It's already built. It's already been tested. It's and I'll be putting it up for, and it's much simpler to use. That's one complaint I've always had, is that my sales page was very complicated. I've tried to simplify it, but still it's very long. It's very difficult. It's time consuming to use. The new page is fully modern. You could order from your telephone, from your tablet. It's what they call responsive. It's you're able to use your telephone or tablet or PC, whatever device, and it's very readable, very legible, and easy to use. So all of the products are on a single page, and so that's something that you'll be seeing here very shortly. It was going to be there, but with all of the internet bombing that was I've been living under here, I simply have not gotten it put together yet. So check out the webpage. Go to jmccsci.com. 7 letters, J, M as in Mary, C, C, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. And check out the water filters. The books are there, my whole library of books, etc. And a lot of people have been purchasing. It's the entire water filter and ebook library. So that's something that's really, it's a super deal if you want water filtration and the library of books, everything all in one package for a super great price. A lot of people have been going with that, especially a lot of new people to the website and to my work. But at any rate, out of time this week, but next week I'll be back with more science, space science issues. But water filtration is one of the most important issues we face today. And because there are so many really offerings out there with a lot of statements about them that are very questionable, if not completely untrue, you have to be careful what you're doing. You have to go with a product that's reliable and the source is reliable. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.